bring my Bible. Sometimes it's just tough, you know, when you're going through. Sometimes it's hard to magnify the Lord and praise his holy name. But you know what? You got to do it anyway. You got to do it no matter what. God is a good God. And I'm so glad to be here today. And so glad that you all are here today as well. I just thank God for you and what he's doing in your life today. You know what? Because some of you this week, you were depressed this week. Some of you this week had issues going on this week. Some of you just didn't know how you were going to make it this week. But I'm here to tell you today that Emmanuel, that God is with us today. He's with us today. Amen. If you've been born twice, you're way ahead of everything. Amen. But if you've only been born once today, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you ain't going to get there. All right. Amen. You got to be born twice. Amen. You got to be born twice. You got to be born twice. But I just thank God for today and thank God for what he's doing. We thank God for the praise thing. Thank God for our visitors today and God bless you. And thank God for our musicians today. And I just thank God for this Resurrection Sunday. You know, from day to day to day, sometimes I'll be like, Lord, am I still going to be here? I don't know. But I know one thing. I know because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all my fear is gone. And because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives. You ought to celebrate the fact that he lives. Today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, you know what? It's the most important day in your life. Amen. The most important day in your life, the only day that has to do with your eternity. With your eternity. Amen? Today makes a difference what you believe. Amen? It makes a difference what you believe. And I'm here to tell you today, there is no other way except through Jesus Christ. That's it. And so today I was thinking, okay, Lord, you know what? Do I just preach a resurrection message? And we have been on this series talking about David. And it's so, I just like the Lord, he just brought it all together for me yesterday. And so we're going to continue talking about David. And you're going to see how God is just going to bring it all together for us. But what a relevant message in 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter. 1 Samuel 24, can you just turn there? And we are going to read the entire chapter. 1 Samuel 24. God has a great message for us today called Options. It's just called Options. You don't know how many times I've read 1 Samuel 24 and just reading it again, God has given another message called Options. Just Options. So I'd like for you to stand if you're able. 1 Samuel. If you don't have a Bible, you can check the Bibles under your seats or find one nearby. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 22. You can just follow along. Everybody there? Say amen. Amen. It says, after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I've not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing, a dead dog, a flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand. When David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it will not return void. I pray, God, that you would just touch me, my heart. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my heart and the meditations of my mouth will be acceptable to you, God. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Options. Strange name for a sermon. Options. David, as we know, for those of you who just need to kind of catch up real quick, and if you know the story of King Saul and David, you know that King Saul is pursuing David because he really hates the Lord's plan for his life. King Saul says, "You know what? You are not going to be king, neither are your descendants anymore." And so why he thinks that he could overcome what the Lord says, I don't know. He's like us sometimes. Okay. So he thinks, well, if I kill David, it's not going to come to pass. God's word always comes to pass, no matter what. And so he's pursuing David. And we talked last week, we were in 1 Samuel 23, and we talked in 1 Samuel 22 about the cave of Adullam. We talked about the fact that when things get tough and David's life was out of control and David was running here and there, and you could almost feel the anxiety when you read the text. And we talked about the fact that when things are out of control in your life, that you got to go to the stronghold, that you got to go to the stronghold, to the cave, and you got to pray. That's our cave of Adullam. That's where David went to get strengthened in the Lord. Amen? That's where he went. And so in chapter 23, we see a different David emerge. We didn't read chapter 23, but in 23, David is inquiring of the Lord. David asked the Lord, "Should I go fight? Should I go fight the Philistines against the people of Keilah? Shall I go up?" And the Lord says, "Go up." He says, what do I do now, Lord?" It seems like just every move David wanted to make, he did what? he inquired of the Lord, and he went to the priest also to say, you know what? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? So that's what being in the stronghold ought to do for each one of us. We ought to be getting our what? Our encouragement, our direction from the Lord. So that means we have to do what? Be still. Be still and wait on God's answer. And that's what David was doing in chapter 23. And in chapter 24, we find David in En-Gedi. En-Gedi is called, it means spring of the goat. It's a desert oasis with waterfalls and pools of water and two large streams. It's so interesting. You know what? Sometimes even when we're going through stuff, God puts you in a good place while you're going through. He puts you in a place and he feeds you and he takes care of you and he makes sure that you have everything that you need. Last night, I was looking for an example to talk about options. And so I had happened to own Oprah's channel. And so I was watching Iyanla Fix My Life. And I was like, oh, wow. Seriously. So she had a young lady on there though, who I had seen before, not just last night. A lady on there named Marie Holmes. Did anyone catch it last night? Marie Holmes, young lady in her 20s, young, won $188 million in the lottery. Back in 2011? I can't remember what year. But very, very immature, had four children. She didn't have her children. Her mother had her children. And she had a boyfriend who had been in jail 3 times. He was a drug dealer. She has spent $21 million on him. Options. The mom was kind of numb. The whole family was really numb. Just really numb. And by numb, I mean just without a clue. So it was just like spending money on ATVs, and she had a house that looked like a plantation, and all of this stuff. But the house was trashed inside. And the equipment, some of the things that she had bought the kids, the ATVs and stuff, they had lost the keys, and sitting outside and rusting and all of that stuff, because she didn't know how to handle the wealth that she had come into. Now, of course, it's not about the wealth, was it? But it was about something where? On the inside. It was something about the heart, something about the way she grew up. It was about self-esteem and dignity and respect and all of those things that Miss Iyanla was trying to get her and her mom to see. She had options. Life was messy. But before you condemn her, because I didn't, I sat there and I watched and I thought, you know, Lord, wow. We have so many young women like her, so many, who are broken people with broken minds, from broken families, broken promises, stressed out, anxious, depressed, all of those things. But how much of what we live each day is a direct result of the choices we make or made at one point in our lives? What would make you just say, okay, mom, take my four children. I'm gonna live in a plantation here. Mom doesn't even live in a state. Mom lives in another state with her kids. What do you think's gonna happen to her kids in time? How do you think her kids are going to think about her? She gave them up and let her mom raise the kids while you made other choices with somebody else. I guess one of the kids was by the youngest was by the boyfriend. She had bought the boyfriend an auto mechanic shop. Now, the story, he was getting ready to go to jail again. Seriously, he was getting ready to go to jail again. And what Iyanla was trying to do was to help even the boyfriend figure out, where's your responsibility here? What options do you have? What choices do you have here? You're gonna just leave her with everything to do? It got complicated, but it makes the point for me that we all have choices that we have to make. And we make choices based on our current state of affairs. So my question to you is, have you ever had to make a choice? She had to make some choices. Have you ever had to make a choice? And not necessarily a choice between one thing or the next thing. How about a set of choices that maybe don't look so good and another set of choices that maybe look worse? I'm just saying. Y'all laughing, it's the truth. Help. So many times in life, we have two sets of choices, like I said, but they're not great sets of choices, but we have two sets of options that we have to wade through, and it's never, ever easy. Never easy. So this young lady, life was messy, wasn't it? And now what? It gets what? Messier. Messier. Has anybody ever had a grease spill? In the kitchen? On the stove? Okay. Has anybody ever tried to clean up grease with grease? Is that what you do? Y'all laughing. It's the truth. You ever trying to clean up grease with grease? We're going to get to the text in a second. Has any of you ever made life messier just because you could? Has anybody ever been in a financial mess, and what did you do to overcome the mess? Did you borrow more money, making life messier? Did you give the Lord's portion away? Anybody ever been in a relationship mess? And I'm not talking about maybe husband and wife, or I'm just talking about brother and sister. Could be friends, could be brother-in-law, could be sister-in-law. And you've chosen to do what you say you have the right to do. I'm gonna tell so-and-so off, because I got options. Huh. Any of you ever chosen somebody who's in your life who doesn't lift you higher but drags you down lower than a footprint? Y'all laughing. I y'all are thinking, I'm so happy. I'm so glad. You know? But you know what? Living that kind of life gets a little old. Because you know what? Some of you are so tired of having to do it all because we've left God out of our priorities. Because what? It's all about what we want. And not about what He wants. But you've talked yourself into thinking that God is in whatever it is you are doing. Anybody ever done something or went to talk to somebody or intervened in something, and after you did it, you knew God wasn't in that? Anybody? Beside me. I'm admitting. I've been there, done that. Gone off and said something prematurely. God was not in that. Even though the opportunity was there for me to do it. And I might have been justified in doing it. But it wasn't God's timing. So we make choices sometimes that do not reflect who God is. And some of us have made choices about whatever it is, but we're using the wrong approach. Let's look at 24 verse 4. It says, the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I'll give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up Because he had the opportunity to kill King Saul, didn't he? But he said David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Could you imagine? Here they are. Saul goes in. Now, I guess they went in caves then and relieved themselves, you know, just whatever. Y'all, that's what that means. He went to do whatever he went to do. So David and his men are way back in the cave, so King Saul did not see them. And so, can you imagine David's men around a campfire maybe, or even in the cave going, David, this is your opportunity. This is what we've been waiting for, David. This is the kingship. You can kill King Saul right now. You can take him out right now. He's right there, he's vulnerable. He got his pants down. You're justified. Are you justified? Yeah. You're justified. Maybe you're justified because what? He's been trying to kill you all this time. David, let's do it, man. Let's do it. If you don't want to do it, guess what? We'll do it for you. We will do it for you. But what does God say? God says this. When we're confronted with messy options, don't make life messier. And that's what David says. He says, the Lord forbid, down in verse 5, he's conscience stricken for just cutting off a corner of the robe. And he says what? The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but he says, don't touch God's anointed and do his prophets no harm. So that means what? That for all of you and for me and whoever it is that's in our lives, sometimes we need to really think about the things that we say and the things that we do. And we don't need to go ahead of God and do or say something that's going to hurt somebody just because we have the right to do so. When confronted with messy options, don't make life messier. Don't always be so sure that God told you to act, even when you might be justified to do so. That's why David is called a man after God's heart. Because David was always trying to go before God and figure out, okay, is this something that God wants me to do? Or should I be still and know that God is God? You know, sometimes you just need to be still and know that God is God. Sometimes he doesn't need you to cuss somebody out. Sometimes he doesn't need you to take up offenses for him. He just doesn't. Because God is very capable of taking care of your life and my life all by himself. So what about David is important? It's important about David to know that, not that he was just a man after God's heart, but that David had great virtues. And you know what? God wants us also to have great virtues. What are virtues? The opposite of virtues are what? Anybody? Vices. Virtues, though, hard work and perseverance and honesty and integrity and compassion and generosity and courage and all of those things are examples of virtues. David had those virtues. Did he have vices? Yeah. Was he sinless? No. He was not. But you know what? For the believer, we're not often talking about choices between what's right and what's wrong. So I don't want you to think that we're that good. I want you to think about choices that are messy and choices that may not be sinful, but they are messier. Choices that are messy and a stack of choices that are messier. Anybody ever made choices and made things more of a mess than what they were? Anybody? Anybody ever went and said something or did something or bought something or got some more credit or whatever it was and made your situation messier than what it was? The Lord wants you to think about the choices that you make, because he doesn't want you to make life messier than what it is. Because we, you know, we already have mess, you know, because that's how we roll. We do. And you know what? If we didn't, why would we need God? We need him. Because we're messy people. Oh, y'all ain't messy. I'm messy, y'all. I know y'all ain't messy. So again, sometimes we think God is speaking because the way things are happening. And it's almost like, have you ever had some things line up in your life and you think, oh, this must be the right thing to do, or this must be the right time to act, or this must be the right time to move, or this must be the right time for that new job, or God wants me to make more money, or whatever it is. Don't always think that just because things line up the way you think they lined up, that it's God's will that that's the way it's supposed to be. Because maybe you haven't been in a stronghold. Maybe you aren't even getting direction from God, but you just flying by the seat of your pants. Just going forward from day to day, wondering, okay, well, this looks right. Let me do that. So many of God's people then have made the wrong decisions by trying to clean up a bad set of options with a bad set of options. I don't want to do that anymore. Do you? Seriously. Don't you think we've already made messes of mess in our lives? Just think about your past, whatever, years. It doesn't matter how young you are either or how mature you are. We've all made messes of things. So what should we do? We should consider the things that we do. Consider, how does God want to remember our actions? And last week, I was telling you about a little situation, and I didn't mention specifics, but you know what? We need to think about the repercussions later on. And think about, you know, is that something that the Lord would do? Is that something that he would be proud of? I was talking about people who make split-second decisions, even in the church. And you look back on them and you think, seriously? Was that really God in that? Do you really think that it was? When you look back on it, we ought to really think about what we're doing and think about how it looks and be in prayer about it before we say or before we do something that God is not pleased with. Do you think that God would have been pleased if David had killed King Saul? I don't think so. I think God would have been displeased with him if he had killed King Saul, because what? David knew better. Because David knew that King Saul was who? God's anointed. No matter what King Saul was trying to do, if God's protected David all this time, then God was going to carry David on into the future. If God's protected you all this time, then God is going to carry you where? Into your future. So do you really need to intervene always in your own life? Or do sometimes you just need to be still and pray and trust God to work it out for you? Well, some of us have stuff going on right now. Right now. And we have some sets of choices that we can make. So I'm telling you that if it's a choice that's going to make your life messier, it's not God doing it. That he wants you to be still and really think about it. Just like David really, really thought about it. So, King Saul was really surprised, wasn't he? he was really surprised that David didn't take him out. He says, you're a better man than I. You know what? We ought to be better people than the people we see out there on the street. We ought to be better people who really are gracious and merciful and kind. We ought to be better people because we're God's people. Amen? Y'all don't like hearing that stuff, huh? Okay. You know what? Because so many of God's people in the church are worse than the people out there in the corporate world. I'm just telling y'all. Okay. So we need to be better. We need to be better people. So how does God want you to how do you want God to remember your actions? David did the right thing with two sets of options. He had the option to kill King Saul. He had the option to let him live because he was God's anointed. We need to take the option that takes the high road with people rather than take the low road and destroy people. I'm just saying. Even though we might have be justified and we might have the opportunity sometimes to defend ourselves, we might be justified in making our feelings known. But what do you think would happen if we went to the stronghold and really waited on God for direction? We really waited on Him to give us the options that we need. What if your strength, what if our strength came from God and not from the energy of the options around us? You know, sometimes the options themselves create energy. They move us to do something right now, right then, right there. But what if God said, I want you to choose the higher road, which might not mean cleaning up the oil spill with more oil? What if you had to clean the oil spills of your life with a solvent that cuts through the grease instead of making more of a greasy mess? If you spill ketchup or mustard on your carpet, would you go and get more ketchup or mustard to clean it up? At the end of this chapter, in chapter 24, it said, David led his men to the stronghold. And you know what? I believe that David was taking them to a new commitment in God by taking them to the stronghold. He was going to teach them something different about who God was. Now, I'm going to transition a little bit, and I'm going to move on to the resurrection. And I'm going to ask you a question. Would God have been justified in killing you or me? Of course he would. Would he have been justified just because what? We're sinners. Just because we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, he would have been justified, wouldn't he? So when we look at this story, the story becomes a mirror to maybe the resurrection, doesn't it? Because God would have been justified. Jesus made a choice in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, what? Let this cup pass from me. Lord, is there some other way that this can happen? But God chose the best option for us. The best option. Were there other options? Sure, there were other options. But for God, it was the best option that he what? Went to a cross for us. The option the people wanted, they wanted Rome. They wanted power. That was an option. But was it the best option for us? Would it have dealt with the sin condition that we have? The answer is no. So God chose the best option for us. And in that garden, that That night, Jesus let his heart break for you. He let his heart break for me. He let his heart feel the pain of sin in his creation and loved them so much that he voluntarily went to the cross. You see, God gave us a way to clean up the mess. We don't have to let life get messier. No one has to make you do anything that you don't want to do. God wants us to make good choices. Even if the options are crazy, if you don't know what to do, be still. Just be still. Why do you feel you've got to act? Why do you feel you've got to say? That's because we always feel like we have the right to do something or so-and-so or whatever. Sometimes we just need to be quiet and be still and not get involved. Because sometimes it's just God's business and just not ours. So that day, Jesus gave us a way to clean up the mess, but we have to fall into his arms. So if you have not fallen into his arms, or if you keep falling into mess, people look at you and they're like, oh, he's messy. She's messy. Something's always happening. Maybe you ought to take a look deep down inside and look at your options. Look at David's options. Read this chapter again. He had options, justifiable options. But we can't always just assume that God is in it just because it looks good, just because we might be justified in doing it, just because we have the opportunity to do it because we've been offended, say. Maybe it's not God's will to do it that way. Amen? Everybody get it? Everybody understand? So I want you to think, as you think about the message, I want you to think about some options in your life. Maybe you got one set of options, but maybe the other sets, it's not so bad. They're not so bad. I wouldn't say any of us were a murderer, necessarily. But you know what? Some of us are faced with things. There are some of our people, you know, you're faced with making a decision about drinking or making a decision about smoking dope or things like that. It's legal here in Colorado. But why would you go from mess to messier? That's why you have to think about things first. You got to make good decisions before you get there. Don't wait until somebody confronts you with the option before you make a decision. You got to make up your mind before you get there. That's for any one of us. There are certain things that I've done in the past I won't do anymore because they got me in trouble. Still paying for stuff from a long time ago. Anybody else? Ain't just me. Still paying for stuff. Options. I had options. I could do what I wanted to do. But was it the godly thing to do? The answer is no.